Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama is Kuf Dalet. Thank Loop and Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Len Lezech and Ishmael Liba Gabriela Bashmoa. We're in Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, and we are going to start the Gemara today. Just a quick recap from the Mishnah. The Mishnah yesterday, a continuation of the ninth parak of Baba Kama. Mishnah talks about stealing from somebody and making a shvua after being accused of having stolen something or taking something that simply does not belong to you. A number of examples of how this could work out. The mission at the end discusses that, but you stole some money from somebody. He claims you don't have. He claims you have the money, and you simply say in response, "No, I don't. I don't have the money." And we'll go to court, and I'll make a shvua, and I don't have the money. So you compound your error by not only denying, but you make a shvua that you don't have the money. And then, in court, after having made a shvua, you go home. You have a start to develop a conscience, and then not only do you realize that yes, I did take the money, and not only that, but I lied in court. So the Torah says, under such circumstances, if you would like to make amends, so here's what you're going to do. One, you're going to make an admission, obviously, that you lied. Let's not call that one. That's what needs to happen. One, you have to pay back restitution of Karen, the principal value of that which you stole. Two, you have to pay back Chomesh. You have to give 25% of that which you took back. Chomesh, of course, is really 20%, but more really, it's 25%. The fraction is added on after the total. So that means to say that if you stole $100, denied having stolen $100, swore that you don't owe the money, and then admitted, so then you're going to tack on 125. You take the number 125, a fifth of 125 is 25. So that's how Chomish comes out to be a quarter. It's Milavar, not Milagav. So you're going to pay back Chomish, you're going to pay back 25% of this extra. We'll talk more later on about what the extra actually means. How do we identify it? How do we define it? And then finally, there's the carbon of Ashem Gzelos, where the Torah in the end of Parshas Vayikra goes on to describe how, under these circumstances, you have a special carbon that you need to bring. That's the basic halacha. Yesterday in the Mishnah, Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah basically took us through a number of permutations of this halacha of the of kofar and the requirement to pay back. And the Mishnah has many details. We're not going to go through the Mishnah again right now. And we pointed out, though, the first halacha, which we're going to be focusing on right now, is this halacha of that yolichinu acharav afilu madai. So let's focus on the Gemara and the very first halacha that we mentioned, the Mishnah. If you're in this parsha of and not only denying but swore that you don't know the money, so then you have to return the money. And not only have to return the money, but something very unusual, although as we pointed out yesterday, it's not so unusual, it's not so strange, and that is that you got to find the nigzal. You got to go and seek out the nigzal wherever he may be. And even if travel expenses are exceedingly high, it doesn't matter, you still need to go. And that's what we learned the first thing in the Mishnah yesterday on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. Hagozos chaver shavapruta. Once you steal the requisite amount of shavapruta of Nishbalo, and then you make a shvua, so yoli chenu acharav afilu madai. The word afilu is inserted by the Bach. So you're going to go find him, and even if it means you're going to go to Madai, it doesn't matter. You're going to go find him there. Expenses are not going to prevent you from going. And as we pointed out yesterday, by the way, and again, this part's a little bit strange, admittedly, we pointed out yesterday that's not true by a regular Goslin. By a regular Goslin, meaning you steal and you didn't swear and you didn't go to you didn't deny with a shvua. So by a regular Goslin, the halacha is that you just simply have to you have to inform him that you stole it. You have to tell him that you're prepared. Whenever he's prepared, you'll pick it up and you'll be a shomer. You'll watch it until the point in time where he picks it up. But you don't have to travel all ends of the earth in order to find him. And unusually, in this parsha, only when you make a shvua, then you have to find him and you have to locate him regardless of where he is. Now, that the truth of the matter is that, meaning, it's hard to explain rationally why there should be a difference. Meaning, as we pointed out yesterday, Phil said yesterday, right? You steal from somebody, the logic would dictate, okay, you got to return it to him, and you got to find him wherever he is. And meanwhile, we're making this distinction in terms of whether you're a regular Goslin versus you're a Goslin and you made a Shavua. The only thing that is clear, however, is that this is found in the Pasuk, meaning the Pasuk already explains the distinction. In Parshas Vayikra, where the Torah describes the kofar, the one who denies with a Shavua, so the Torah says, La'ashir hu lo, Nenu. The Torah there says, wherever he is, That's, you have to give it to him. So the Torah speaks to this distinction, although again, that's, that just tells us that that's the halacha. In terms of an explanation of why, okay, that's that part's a bit of a struggle. Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, now we start with the Gemara Nishbalo Inlo. So the Gemara says, now look, it's very simple, the deal is very simple, the Mishnah, and this requirement to go and find him wherever he's a Madai, that is only if you made a Shvua, denying that you own the money. But if you didn't make a Shvua, so then you don't have to go to Madai. So Mani Lo Rabbi Tarfon Lo Rabbi Kiva, Detanya. So the Gemara says, okay, now let's try to do the following, let's identify who the author of the Mishnah is. And the Gemara points out it's going to be a bit of a struggle because it's not going like Rabbi Kiva, like Rabbi Tarfon. As the Gemara now introduces us to the following Machlokas Detanya, we learned in a Braisa. It will be clear as we go through this Braisa that right now the Gemara is thinking that it's a fair comparison between this Braisa and our Mishnah. Obviously, it's not exactly the same, but we'll see that as we learn together. And the person steals from five people. One of five people, and the problem is that those five people, I don't know, he just had a hard time remembering who exactly he stole from. So v'cholechad omer osi gazal. And to compound the problem, so each of the victims say that they're the victims. Now, they're not all victims. Only one of them is a victim. So, yes, it's disingenuous that all five of them think they're the victim and all claiming that they're the victim. But okay, right now the gazlan is in a bit of a bind because he stole from somebody. He doesn't know who he stole from. It could be one of five people and they're all saying it's me. So menich zela b'nei m'mastalik divrei Rabbi Tarfon. So Rabbi Tarfon says, okay, it's an enigma, it's a puzzle, it's unsolvable. So Rabbi Tarfon says, take the money, put it in front of them, and say, okay, gentlemen, have a great day. Okay, one of you, I stole from one of you, I apologize to the one who I stole from. I don't know who it is, you're all claiming the money from me. So here, I put the money down, and let's go. Yeah, fight it out. Yeah, why do I need to figure it out? Okay. Four of those guys are unethical, to say the least. All right, but right now the only, I mean, your point is excellent. But the Bryce is only interested in just, not only interested, but for the Bryce wants to know what the solution is from the Goslin standpoint. So from the Goslin standpoint, so what am I going to do? I don't know, but I only stole one time, and I stole five times. So I'm not going to pay back five times. At least that's Rabbi Tarfon's solution. Rabbi Kiva Omer, lo zu derech motzi aso mide averus. Rabbi Kiva says, you want to do tshuva. Okay, I know this is an unusual case, but you want to do tshuva. You want to do tshuva, you got to pay back the guy you stole from. And right now, there are five candidates of who you may stole from, may have stolen from. Okay. Achi shalem gzel al cholecha ve'echan. So Rabbi Kiva says, okay, so pay them all back. Okay, and that's obviously four times more than what you initially stole. Okay, but you know sometimes you want to do tshuva, and tshuva is not easy. And so Rabbi Kiva says you got to pay them all back. Okay.
Did you do five
promises? No, he wasn't. But right now, let's assume that he's not swearing. And that's important right now in terms of setting up the question. Okay, so money. So the Gemara says now, what did we just learn together? An interesting brisa, giving a unusual case, but the point is that machlokes between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva, to what extent and what length you have to go to in order to be a chozer b'tshuva by a gazlan? Do I need to satisfy it to the nth degree, which is really Rabbi Kiva's viewpoint? Or Rabbi Tarfon says, no, I stole, fine. Five people are claiming I stole from them, I don't know which one it is. Okay, I'll put it down. So in other words, the basic machlok between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva is, what degree do I need to go to? Now, money. Now the Gemara is going to set it up where, is our Mishnah following either of these opinions? And ostensibly, no. Because look, because if we're going like Rabbi Tarfon, so it sounds like that even though you made a Shavua, still all you need to do is just put it down and be gone. So it sounds like, according to Rabbi Tarfon, now again, the Braisa did not teach us anything about Shavuah, but ostensibly, it should make a difference, wouldn't make a difference, and Rabbi Tarfon will tell you, just put the money down and go. And that's enough. And E Rabbi Akiva afagav de la ishtava. And according to Rabbi Akiva, even without a shvua, if you want to be a bal tshuva and you want to do right, so you're going to have to pay all five of them back, even though all you did was steal, you didn't even compound your error. You didn't even make a shvua. Still, if you want to do right, you got to give it. You got to give it back to each one. So now our Mishnah. Doesn't seem like our Mishnah is following either position. Our Mishnah says that you have to go to Madai, but only when you made a Shavua. If you didn't make a Shavua, you don't have to go to Madai. So our Mishnah is taking this middle position, and Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva seem to be at the two extremes. Rabbi Tarfon is at the extreme of just put the money down and go, and you're fine. And even with a Shavua, that's all you need to do. And Rabbi Kiva is on the other side, where even without a Shavua, go and pay all five of them. Now, admittedly, the cases are not exactly the same, but the idea seems to be that Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon are telling us what you need to do, and our Mishnah, which is a more nuanced middle position, is not going like either. So, La'olam Rabbi Kiva, so the Gemara says, okay, so let's go. Attempt number one. We're going to go three rounds over here. Round one. So let's say that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Kiva, Chikam, Rabbi Kiva, Shisham, Zilacholecha, Ve'echad, Hechad, Yishtava, Hu, Dekamar. So the Gemara says that maybe according to Rabbi Kiva, we're talking about a scenario where there was a Shavua. Meaning even though the Bryce doesn't record it, but let's say it. Then Bryce is talking about a case where there was a Shavua. Then and only then is Rabbi Kiva telling us that you have to return the money to the owner, and even if it means five times over, you still have to do it. My time and I'm a kral. I share hulo. Yinenu b'yamash maso. The Torah says that you have to return it back to him, to the one you're guilty of. Okay.
V'rabbi Tarfon afagav d'ishtava. This case, you're going to ask a question about the chomesh. Five times chomesh.
I guess. Yeah. In other words, right. If there's a shvua and he wants to be chozer b'tshuva, yeah. Yeah. Now, the Rabbi Tarfon afagav d'ishtava v'rabbanan takanta. Now, let's think about it now from the standpoint of Rabbi Tarfon. Because according to Rabbi Tarfon, now that we're setting up the Bryce's case where a shvua was made, so A, you stole, B, you made a shvua denying that you stole the money, and then afterwards you admitted it. So now Rabbi Tarfon says, oh, you're good. What do you mean you're good? No, you're not good. Meaning you have to return the money. And five people are claiming the money, okay, I should... Meaning, it would seem to be, in other words, after having learned the pasuk in the Torah, Lasher hu lo yinenu b'yamash maso, you have to return it to the guy. And here you didn't. So to that, the Gemara says, in defense of Rabbi Tarfon, yeah, you're right, but Rabbi Tarfon, avad rabbanan takanta. Once again, this is another one of the takanas that we saw in the beginning of the parak. We're seeing now again. And basically what the Chachamim wanted to do was to help the chozer b'tshuva be chozer b'tshuva. And it's not easy, and the Chachamim know that. And so therefore, a takana. The time the Gemara quotes a brayso, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadok Omer, takana gadola hitkina shim haisa utza yaser la keren misham keren v'chomish lebeisin umevi ashamo miskapelo. So there's a great takana that was made where if, let's say, the travel expenses would have been absolutely out of control, you would have to fly into all flight, or back then, you know, wagoned to all ends of the earth. So therefore, the Chachamim realized the person is never going to be chozer b'tshuva, and he's going to be totally unmotivated, realizing how difficult it's going to be. Sorry. So basically what they said is that you can give it to a Shlech Beis Din, and maybe Hashemah Miskar below. Then you can bring your Karban Hashem, and then you'll have a Kapara. Okay. V'Rabbi Kiva Kiva, Rabbanan Takana Hechad Yad L'Man Gazlei, Dekam Mahadol Mamona L'Marei. So the Gemara says, and as far as Rabbi Kiva is concerned, he agrees that yes, there was a Takana that was instituted, but only in a circumstance where you know who the Gazlan was, and it's just now the only thing impeding you from going and returning it to him is your travel expenses. Travel expenses are out of control. So then Rabbi Kiva will agree to Rabbi Tarfon, fine. So what you'll do is you'll give it to Beis Din, and now Beis Din will take care of it. He, the Nigzal, will collect it from Beis Din. But once you give it to Beis Din, you have satisfied your obligation returning. You can then move on, bring your carbon. Okay, fine. However, but if I stole from one person, I just don't know who that one person is. And now there are five possible candidates as to who it could be. So now, if I want to do right, so I have to give it to each one of the five. And there, the Chacham did not make a takana, because there I have to return it to somebody, and so all five of them are going to get paid. Okay, Adkan. Okay, so within round one, so now what we're suggesting is that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva. Rashi over here points out, why did the Mishnah start with our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva? So very important. Rashi over here, Rashi says, because we generally know that when you have Stam Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva. Now you're probably thinking to yourself, it's not what I usually say. I usually say Stam Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Akiva are one and the same. If you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi writes, La'olam Rabbi Akiva, ki Rabbi Akiva meikar mahadrina lo'ukmei mishum, dekulu tenaisti masai, aliba de Rabbi Akiva. Stam kedam Rabbi Elohim nechnakim. Here he quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Gemara in Sanhedrin says that when you have stams are going like Rabbi Akiva. Now again, Rabbi Akiva is the root of all stams. Meaning, think about it. After Rabbi Akiva lost his 24,000 Talmidim, so he started again. And now he picked up five new Talmidim. One of the five new Talmidim is Rabbi Meir. So the Stam Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir. And then the other stams, meaning there's a Stam Sifra, and there are other stams as well, which are going like other Talmidim Rabbi Akiva. So truth be told, is that rooted in Stam, is that Stam Mishnah is really like Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Meir is the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. So that's why the starting point of the Gemara is, let's see if we can go have our mission go like Rabbi Akiva. Meisav Rav Huna Rav Yehudam Rabbi Shema Ben Lazar. So now the Gemara is going to attack this first approach, that our mission is really going like Rabbi Akiva. Because consider, we have a Braisa, and the Braisa says that according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, lo nechlegu Rabbi Tam Rabbi Akiva al shalaka chacham mechami shaveini yodem ezem emlakach shem nechtemi mekach beinem masalek. Let's say you took from somebody, you don't know who you took from, and so what you're going to do is you're going to put the money down, and then you're going to just walk away, and there's no debate. The only point of dissension between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon is only when you steal from one of five people, and you don't know who you stole from. So here in the Braisa, we're making a simple distinction between taking money from somebody and not knowing versus stealing. Now the Gemara says, Visa gedacha d'ishtava. Now the Gemara says, now wait one second. Remember, we're setting up the Brice in a case where a claim is made against you and you made a shvua, denying that you owe the money. So truth be told, what difference does it make whether originally I was given the money and then denied, or I stole the money and then denied? Once we get to the point of denial, really, everything now is leveled. It's an even playing field now. Once I'm denying, that basically makes me a Goslin. Now, I know in the second case, I started by being a Goslin, so nothing really changed, but even if I took the money legitimately, and then denied having been given the money, or denied, or maybe the denial is I pay the money already, whatever it is, denied owing the money, at that point in time now, we're pretty much at even with one another. And so therefore the Gemara says, so then mali lakach mali gazal. I don't see then why there should be a difference how you got the money. Once you deny, you're now in the parsha of I have to make restitution, I have to pay chomesh, I have to bring a carbon ashram. So the Gemara says, that doesn't make sense. In other words, it must be that the case over here is where there was no denial. And secondly, v'od. Meisiv rava meisiv bechased echash lakach mishnei b'nei adam v'lo haya yadea meizem lam lakach. So the Gemara tells a story regarding a chassid. Okay. And the chassid took from one of two people, and he doesn't know who he took from. Not stole, by the way, because he's a chassid. He's not stealing. Uva lifnei Rabbi Tarfon, armelo hanach demei mecha b'nei v'yisalik. And he went to Rabbi Tarfon, and Rabbi Tarfon says, okay, l'shita zi, I'm going to tell you what to do. Put the money down between the two of them, and wish them well. And ba lifnei Rabbi Kiva, and armelo ein lecha takana ach tishal mechol echa ve'echa. And Rabbi Kiva says, no. You got to pay each one of them. Now, again, what did we suggest moments ago in the Braisa? Braisa is talking about a case where you denied with a shvua. Come on, we're talking about a chassid. Isak adach de mishtab a chassid mi mishtab b'shikra. The Gemara says, now, in order to get the name chassid, so it's not just a name, it means that he is a special person. And he's not going to be falsely swearing about a claim that he, in fact, owes, and swearing that he doesn't know it. And the Gemara says, okay, but you can't become a chassid. In other words, a chassid is something that you are born? So the Gemara says, "V'hakol echad amin ma'isa b'chaser echad." So the Gemara says, in this particular regard, that when the Gemara says chaser, it means a particular individual, and yes, and he was a chaser from early in his life. So, E Rav Yehuda ben Bava, E Rav Yehuda Rabbi Elai. The Gemara gives two possible candidates of who could be, and either way, Rav Yehuda ben Bava, Rav Yehuda Rabbi Elai, chasidim nemikara havu. So they were chassid, and they were chassid meikara. Okay, they never went through they never went through adolescence. Okay, they were good from the beginning. Now the Gemara says basically, I've asked two questions. One question is based on a braisa that makes a distinction between lakach versus gazal. If we're talking about where there's a denial and there was an oath denying it, should it make a difference? That's question number one. Question number two: the Gemara tells a story regarding a chassid who goes to Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says, "You want to do good, you got to pay him back." Rabbi Tarfon says, "Nah, just leave the money there. It's fine." Okay. Just by the way, lesson of the day: don't get a second opinion. The chassid and the Gemara is describing a chassid. He's not lying. He under oath. That's not happening. So the Gemara says, okay, based on these two questions, the Gemara says, I have nothing. We have to now withdraw our original proposal that our mission is going like Rabbi Akiva, and so now our second proposal of the morning. Elololam Rabbi Tarfon he. So now we're going to say that our mission is going like Rabbi Tarfon. Now remember, Rabbi Tarfon is talking about a scenario in which you took from one of five people, you don't know who you took from. So Rabbi Tarfon says, just leave the money and let them figure it out. Our Mishnah, on the other hand, says, if you steal from somebody, go to Madai. So how can our Mishnah be going like Rabbi Tarfon? Our Mishnah is describing, do whatever it takes to get the money back to the victim. And Rabbi Tarfon, on the other hand, says, not whatever it takes. In other words, do something, but not whatever it takes. So the Gemara says, "Umod Rabbi Tarfon echid ishtave." So the Gemara says, and we'll say it like this. The Bryce is talking about a case where there was no Shavua, as we pretty much already established. And so now, according to Rabbi Tarfon, we're going to make a very simple distinction between when you stole and you made a Shavua, and you perjured, versus when you just stole. So the Gemara says, "My time and Damakala Shehulo Yinenu Biyamashmaso." So the Gemara says, and as far as explaining the distinction, so again, when I say explain, I'm not really explaining Bederach Svara, but just simply, it's a pasuk. The pasuk says that when you steal and compound the error by perjuring, so then you have to go find him wherever he may be, as opposed to the case to a regular gazlan. A regular gazlan, yes, return it. But if travel expenses are high, so just simply notify him that you have it, hold on to it, wait till he comes over. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva, afagav de la mishab, kanis. Now, as far as Rabbi Kiva is concerned, now Rabbi Kiva's position is that even though there was no shvua, but still kanas. In other words, it's a fine. Meaning, of course, you shouldn't be having to pay five times over from that which you stole. But look, you know what? Not only did you steal, but also, quite frankly, you were sloppy. Meaning you stole from somebody, you don't even know who you stole from. And yes, as we pointed out earlier, it's not right that all five of them are claiming that you owe the money. But, okay, right, fine. But still, in other words, so that was a kenas. Rabbi Tarfon, michti hechde mishab lo sagya, delo hodo, my iri of a nishba, filo below nishbanami. So the Gemara says, now, according to Rabbi Tarfon, let's think this through. So, if you made a shvua, so you need to make an admission. So, if that's true, why are we describing shvua? Even without a shvua, the Gemara goes on to quote a brisa. Detanya will enter a brisa. Moed Rabbi Tarfon ba'amal l'shnaim gazalti echem mechem miniach ve'ini yodei ezem echem ezem ikem nosin l'zemane u'l'zemane shekvar hodo mipi atzmo. So the Gemara here quotes the brisa. And the brisa over here describes that we stole from one of two people. I don't know which one I stole from you. So you give one a mana, and you give another a mana, because he was hode mipi atzmo, because he made an admission on his own. Meaning this person clearly wanted to clear his conscience. Take a look at the top Rashi on Kuf Dal Med Aleph. Shikvar hode mipi atzmo, uvala tesi de shemayim. In other words, this person clearly, because of his own admission, wanted to clear his conscience. Ve'afagav de beidina lo masim echai ve'lei ela minech lifnehem. Now, if he wasn't coming clean and he wasn't ready to clear his conscience, he just simply was told by Beis Din, here's what you need to do. So fine. So then Rabbi Tarfon would say, just put the money down and be done with it. But if he's coming and making admission on his own, so then he's got to pay each one of them. So the Gemara says, okay, so so it's difficult now to line up Rabbi Tarfon together with our Mishnah, because on an admission that he made, so then even without a Shavuah, he still has to pay every one of them. So El Amarava, so the Gemara says finally on the top of Kuf Dalam and Aleph, so Rava says as follows. The entire Amud of Gemara that we just did, from the Gemara until this very point in time, here's what we thought. We thought that the Mishnah and the Braisa were comparable, running along some sort of parallel, and that's why we could have, and we did, engage in a discussion for an Amud of Gemara of, is our Mishnah going like Rabbi Tarfon, is our Mishnah going like Rabbi Kiva? Rava finally comes around after we tried and we rejected both approaches. Rava says, here we go with a totally new approach within our Mishnah, and that is, you don't have to compare the Mishnah and the Braisa. Elam Rava Shani Masifin, the Kevin Diagla Mangas Leva Odile, Kevin Dev Shalad Dur Memonla Mare, Havale Commander Male, Yulibiadeka, Hilkach Nishma, Afagav de Kamar Le, Yulibiadeka, Kevin Dabai Kapara, Losagi Ad Mataliade. As far as the Mishnah is concerned, you know who you stole from. And you want to do what's right. So and even though you could say to him, it's in my hand, but because you made a shvua, so therefore you want kapara, you want to bring your carbon asham, you can't bring your carbon asham until you bring it back to them. So halo yishaba have gabe pikadon ad asav shakale. Now without the shvua, so now there's no need for a kapara in the sense of a carbon. So therefore, all you need to do at that point in time is just simply say to him, "I stole. I have it. When you're ready, you'll come and get it. And yes, I'll be a shomer until the point in time where you come and get it." So basically, that's the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Braisa, on the other hand, is talking about a case where you don't know who you stole from. Since you don't know who you stole from, so that's why Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva are arguing about whether or not you have to pay each and every person. But the basic underlying distinction between the Mishnah and the Braisa is the Mishnah, you know who you stole from, and the Braisa, you don't know who you stole from. Okay. Lo yitein lo livno v'lo l'shlucho. Okay, we go back to the Mishnah, and now we're in the second halacha in the Mishnah. Okay, so after having an extensive discussion of the first halacha, where you got to take the stolen item and bring it back, even if he's a mandai, so then the Mishnah's next halacha is that you don't give it back to his son or to his shliach. Okay, if you take a look at Rashi over here, I'm sorry, you take a look at Rashi back in the Mishnah, why? What's the problem? Meaning, why can't you give it to a son? So Rashi over there writes, Shal nigzal alicha le nigzal, she'im ye'ansuhu, chayv la'achzir, delo havi ha'shava ademat le'adei kedamaran. Meaning, once we have the starting point of, you don't satisfy your obligation until the stolen item gets back to him, gets back to the nigzal, so now giving it back to his son is not going to be good. Meaning, yeah, it's possible the son is going to bring it back to him, but you have not fulfilled your obligation until the item gets back to him. If anything happens to the item en route back to the nigzal, you're still going to be responsible, you're still going to be liable. Okay. Adkan the Mishnah, the Gemara now discusses. Zidmar. Shlich she'asu be'edim. Rechista amar havishlich, rab amar lo havishlich. So the Gemara now has the following discussion. Let's say that I appoint a shliach. So, we are talking about the following. If you look at Rashi, Reuven sheish lo mas b'yad Shimon. Okay, Reuven has money by Shimon. Umina shliach be'edim lekablam heimenu unesanam lo. So, Reuven now is going to set up basically a courier. But not just a courier, his shliach to go and pick up the money, his money. Now, what's the big deal? Meaning, okay, and therefore what? So look at the next Rashi. Next Rashi is describing Rav Chista. Rav Chista said he is a shliach. And Rashi writes, he's a shliach, v'im nensu b'derech Pater Baal Habayis Shenat Namlo. So that means now that because he is an actual bona fide shliach, that means that once Shimon hands the money over to the shliach, it's ki'ilu as if he handed it over to Reuven. And now that means that if anything happens to the money and route back to Reuven, Shimon will be pater from having to pay any more. He has fulfilled his obligation of returning it, even though he didn't return it to actually Reuven, but once he gives it to Reuven shliach, that will be good enough. Okay. Adkan divrei Rav Chista. That's Rav Chista Shita. Now Rabbi says no. Rabbi Amar lo havi shliach. And now Rabbi's of the opinion that no, that he's not going to be a shliach. Meaning, according to Rabbi, you can hand it to him. He could be a courier, but please understand that you are not going to have satisfied your obligation of returning the money until the money gets back to the hand of Reuven. Okay, even though Reuven set him up as a shliach. Now Rav Chista, I'm a havi shliach lahachi tarchiv ukma be'edim. The leku birishu say. Now, as far as Rav Chista is concerned, look, not only did I appoint him as a shliach, but I did so in front of Edim. Isn't that a very good indication that I want him to be a shliach, and I basically want the money to be in my rishus the moment it gets into his hands? And Rabbi Amar lo havi shliach hachi kamar. And as far as Rabbi is concerned, no, he's not a formal shliach. Now, what is he saying in front of these other people, these quote unquote edim? So inish mehemna hu isamach smoch ibay leshaduri biade shadu biade. All I'm saying is I like him. He's a nice guy, right? I trust him. Now, if you want to give him the money, so by all means, you may do so. But you are not going to be excused from your responsibility having to return the money to me until the money gets back to my hand. Okay.
The first case, how does he explain that? I mean, shliach is less than you. You're going to return money. You didn't return it, so for sure you don't fulfill your obligation. So definitely, if it's a shliach, for sure you're not going to fulfill
the obligation. Wait, let's go over. Reuven has money by Shimon. Reuven now is appointing a shliach in order to collect the money. Right. Reuven setting up the shliach in order to collect the money. So now what the Gemara is debating is when Reuven does so, and he sets up the shliach in front of witnesses. So now you have an appointed shliach in front of witnesses. So does that mean now that this shliach is basically going to take the role of Reuven? Once the money goes into the hands of the shliach, is that like the money having been deposited in Reuven's hands? Rav Chista says yes, Rabbi says no, and the Gemara now is going to debate.
Rabbi, they're arguing about the facts of the case, not the status. They're saying,
no.
Chista said this happened, and Rabbi said this happened.
No. Just as a general rule, when you see a machlokas, it's not over facts. It's over svar. It's over.
Isn't Rabbi saying that he didn't appoint him as a shliach? He said, I like this guy.
Right. No, in other words, no. And meaning the wording shliach over here is not the key point of debate. The key point of debate is what is the status? Is he going to be me? Is he going to be basically serving as my stead? Where now once the money is given to him, it's given to me? Or no? I'm just simply saying he's a good person to give it to, but you're not going to have fulfilled your obligation of returning until it actually gets back to my hand. But no, right, just as a general rule in terms of Gemara overarching idea is that they're not arguing over facts, they're arguing over conceptualization. The Mishnah, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah about Mitzia Shol Sapar Vishilcha Biad Beno, Biad Avdo, Biad Shlucho, Biad Beno, Biad Avdo, Biad Shlucho Shol Shawel Umesa Potter. So I borrow a cow and I return it back in the hands of the son or the Eved or the Shliach, or the son or the Eved of the Shliach of the Shawel. In either one of these cases, the animal dies en route back, so you're going to be Pater. So, now, Hai Shlucho Hechidami. Now, one of the things that were identified over here was the Shliach. And the Gemara says, now, are we talking about a Shliach that was not appointed in front of witnesses? So the Gemara says, if they weren't appointed in front of witnesses, so then the word Shliach, like, how does anyone know? So it must be that the Mishnah Bab Mesia is describing where it was done in front of the Eidim. And it says that you're going to be exempt. So Kasha Li Rav Chista. So the Gemara says that's difficult for Rav Chista because Rav Chista Tosfos says that once you have an appointment of a shlech, and once you do so in front of Edim, so then giving it to the shlech is tantamount to giving it back to the original. So the Gemara says, "Kedamar chista b'schir l'kito hachanami b'schir l'kito." So the Gemara says, "No, over there it wasn't a shlech that was appointed in front of Edim. What over there? What happened was is that you gave it, you handed it to somebody who is basically always by you." Meaning, but he's not a formal shlich per se. Take a look at Rashi over here in Rashi's description of Lakito. Rashi says, Shalakto etzlo lador imo bebeso litzav sabamo. So Rashi over here, interesting shot. Basically, what's they have that term? An aid, but okay. I'm not sure if an aide is the best way to say it. But basically, someone who's always by you in your house. Safsa Bahama, Rashi's expression over here, basically somebody to keep you company. Okay? So basically, the Mishnah in Bab Metzia that says that giving it to the Shliach is not tantamount to giving it to the other person is where it was not a formal Shliach. Okay, Tanan. Let's take a look at our Mishnah. Lo yitein lo livno v'lo l'shlucho. So our Mishnah says that you can't give it to a son, you can't give it to a shliach. In other words, that's not going to be good enough. That's what we learned in our Mishnah. So the Gemara says again, it must be, let's assume that when we say shliach over here, we're talking about the formal shliach. Where? It was appointed, the shliach was appointed with witnesses. So now, again, this is difficult for Rav Chista. Because Rav Chista says that once you appoint a shliach in front of witnesses, he's you. And that means now that when you hand it to the shliach, it's as if you're handing it to the person himself. And so therefore, if that's what our Mishnah is describing, which ostensibly it is, so then the Mishnah should be saying, once you hand it to the shliach, you should be off the hook. You should have fulfilled your obligation. You can now turn back to the base of Mekdash and offer your Karban Asham. But that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says it's not good enough. Rav Chista, how are you going to learn the Mishnah? Tir Gemara Rav Chista b'schiru l'kito. So the Gemara says, okay, so Rav Chista will do the same maneuver in which it's not a formal shliach. You gave it to a person who is just simply someone who is always around in the house of the Nigzal, but he's not a formal shliach. So the Gemara says, avashlech sh'asa b'eidah ma'ayach na'amid avishliach. So the Gemara says, okay, now here's what you're saying. You're saying that if I just gave it to a guy, meaning even though the guy, generally speaking, is a good guy, he's going to return it, but he's a guy. He wasn't appointed a shliach. So there you tell me the halach is, that's not good enough. If I handed it to a formal shliach who was appointed in front of witnesses, oh, that is good enough. So now in the Mishnah has an opportunity to make a very good distinction. So the Gemara says, look, in the Mishnah described where you're giving it to a shlech based in, then and only then are you going to be off the hook. So the Gemara now is wondering, well, wait one second. Why doesn't the Mishnah make a better distinction? That in the scenario in which he's a shliach that was appointed in front of witnesses, so that's going to be a shliach. So the Gemara says, so why didn't the Mishnah say that? And the Mishnah had to move on to the case of a shliach based in. A court-appointed shliach. So the Gemara says, Amri lo psikale. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because it's not as unilateral. Shliach based in lo shnaso nigzav, lo shnaso gazlan. You see, when it comes to shliach based in, if he's a court-appointed shliach, so it doesn't matter then whether it was done in front of the gazlan, whether it was done in front of the nigzal, meaning he has the objective force in which, once you hand it to him, that's it. No, you're good. Gazlan Havishlech. Psikale. Shliach Shasa Be'edim. So the Gemara says, now if it's a Shliach that was made in front of Edim, but it wasn't a court Shliach, so Dechiasu Nigzo Hudavishliach. So the Gemara says here a very basic distinction. If the Nigzo is the one who appointed him, okay, good. Meaning, once I hand it to the Shliach of the Nigzal, so then I'm going to have properly fulfilled my obligation of returning the item. However, Gazlan lo avishliach. But however, let's say I make a shliach, meaning me the Gazlan. Okay, that certainly once I hand it to him, so that would be tantamount to me taking it out of my right pocket and putting it in my left pocket, meaning he's still an extension of me, and so therefore it simply is not going to work. So lo psikale. So the Gemara says, so therefore it's not going to be as unilateral. So meaning basically, you're right. The Mishnah could have taught us the case of a shliach of the nigzal, but the Mishnah moved on to the case of shliach basin, because shliach basin objectively serves the serves your purpose of returning it back to the nigzal. Okay. The Gemara says now, our Mishnah's position is removing itself from the following. If you have a Shlech Basin that was appointed by the Nigzal, but not appointed by the Gazlan, so, Asu Gazlan Vishalach, or the Halavanata Shlomi Ado Pater. So the. So this Bryce is of the opinion that when it comes to Shlech Basin, so it makes a distinction whether or not it was done in front of the Gazan or was done in front of the Nigzal. Clearly, the way we just learned our Mishnah is not going to agree with that. Because the way we're learning our Mishnah is that when it's, once it's a Shlech Basin, so that's it. Rav Yochanan, Rav Lazar, Dami Tavayu, Shlech Shasa Be'edim Havishlech. So now the Gemara continues the discussion. The Gemara quotes the opinions of Rav Yochanan, Rav Lazar, who are going to be in agreement with Rav Chista, that once you set up a Shlech and you do so in front of Bezdin, he's you, he's an extension of you. Once the money's handed over to him, so then you're good to go. V'im Tamar Mishnah Seinu. Now, what about our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah does describe a shliach, and our Mishnah says it's not good enough. When the Goslin hand the item back to the over to the shliach, that won't be enough, and that won't fulfill my obligation. So ben mamsilo shliach. So the Gemara says our Mishnah is talking about a case where he just happened to have popped up. In other words, it was not a officially appointed shliach. So, b'mam tzil shliach. The amrle is leizizik abe panayu v'lo kamishad alohu itzchaz elei doma inishu d'lo mishkach l'shdur elei. The Gemara says it just happens to be that I handed it to him, and you know what? If I happen to find him, fine, I'll give it to him. Inami k'dor Rav Chista b'schir l'kito. Or the Gemara says another way to explain our Mishnah is like Rav Chista, in which I handed it to not a formal shliach, but a guy who's always around in the house, but he's not a formal shliach. Okay. Good. Adkar. All right, so where do we stand right now? And Kuf Dalam and Aleph, the Gemara had the following discussion, and that is when I owe somebody money, I mean, we could be talking in the context of our Mishnah, but the truth of the matter is, as we'll see, in the continuation of the Gemara, it's true by any monetary obligation. I owe somebody money. I have to pay him the money. At what point have I satisfied my obligation of paying him? So the first and the most important, most obvious answer is when I give him the money. Good. But now we're painting the edges of halacha over here. What if I don't give him the money, but what if I give the money to a courier to give to him? So if I appoint him to be the shliach, so obviously nothing changed. If he, the recipient, appointed him the shliach, so does that change things? So Rav Chista says, yes, it does. It's as if I gave it to the recipient. We now learn at the end of this amud, Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan agree with Rav Chista. It's it will be as if I give it to the recipient. And on the other side of this is Rabba. Rabba disagrees. Rabba says no. It's you're still going to be on the hook if anything were to happen. Our Mishnah seems to be more supportive of Rabba's position. But the Gemara says that Rav Yochanan, Rav Elazar, and Rav Chista are all going to explain our Mishnah one way or another, that it's not a formal shliach. I'm Rav Yoram Shmuel. We're now on the top of Kriftal and Beis, so a little bit further. So, Eim Shachan Ma'os B'diukne, V'afilu Eidim Chasuma Ma'alaha. So, you're not allowed to send money together with Diukne, and even if witnesses are signing on it. Okay. Simple definitional point. What are we talking about over here? What does that mean, b'diukni? So take a look at the top Rashi on Kriftal and Mabeif, and Rashi writes, Masal Bala Pikadon L'Shliach Simanim. So let's say the Bala Pikadon sends it to the Shliach with Simanim V'Kafs of Lo, Chosamo B'Igeris, and even sends along with it a document, a signed document. And so now basically you're sending it to him with basically some form of a receipt, a signed receipt. So the Rav Yehuda quotes the name of Shmuel, that's not going to be good enough. So Rav Yochanan Amar, he made him chasim alam mashachin. So Rav Yochanan says that if witnesses are signed on it, so that's good. So then you can send it. So Amre l'shmua maitakante. So now they turn to Shmuel and say, well, look, according to you, like, what are you supposed to do? Meaning, you owe money to somebody. You'd like to send it. How are you going to get anybody money? And again, I guess the best answer is go there. But
so,
okay, go there yourself. But is there another way to go about it? So the Gemara says, "Kihadar Rabbi Ava have a masik zuzei bid Rav Yosef bar Chama amalei l'Rav Safra b'had da'asis I seen in the LA." So he says to Rav Safra, "While you're on your way over there, so give the money to him." Kihazal hasam amalei Rav Abrei mikasav lacha his kabalti. So did he write for you some sort of receipt saying that he received the money? Amalei lo. So he says no. So he says, fine, go back there and go write a receipt. So the Gemara says, and now even if that were the case, it's still not going to be enough. Dilma adasa shachiv, because maybe by the time he got there, the recipient would have died. I'm sorry, Shach Rabbi Abba, Venaflu Zuze Kamiyasve, Viskabalti de Rabbi Abba, Lav Klumhu. So then the Hiskabalti would also not be significant. So the Amar Lev Elamaitakansa, so the Gemara says, so what should I do? So the Gemara says, Zil, Nikninilacha, Agav Ara, Visa At Kasav Lacha Iskabalti. So the Gemara says, so what you should do is you should do a Kinyan Agav. Okay, let's pause over here. I know we have a little bit more to get to until the next station of the Gemara. But let's pause over here. Tomorrow we'll come back. I'll explain better the Kinyan Agav that we're talking about over here, in order to facilitate where I can basically send money to somebody through somebody and yet not fulfill my obligation once the money gets out of my hands. I'll explain it better tomorrow. We'll stop here. Rabbi Chanan ben Akash, Masach Hashbarach, Zach Yisrael.